It's your brother, Mr. Norman Mellish.
Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Leviticus? The book of Leviticus, chapter 7. The book of Leviticus, chapter 7 and verse 8, please. The priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. Now into chapter 4, please. Chapter 4. Dealing now with the beast of the sin offering, he says in verse 11, and the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock, shall he carry forth without the camp, unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. Now we trust that God will bless his word to each of our hearts again this evening. Last night, while enjoying a good tea in the house of some of the saints here in Ireland, we not only enjoyed a tea, but we enjoyed a little time over the Word of God. And as we were talking together about the things of God, we came across these verses in the book of Leviticus 7 and in the book of Leviticus and chapter 4. And I thought today, Burton, that it would be a good thing just to touch them and draw them before the saints of God. I'm glad our brother Leckie brought before us those lovely thoughts out of the book of Romans and chapter 8. But not one of us today, child of God, stand condemned. Not one of us. Every one of us cleared in the mighty work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we stand this evening hour. The tragedy is I come across a lot of saints, and they're not living in the good of Romans 8. I come across a lot of believers and they're distressed, simply, child of God, because of failures that come across their life's experience. And some of them, sadly, they're dwelling on experiences of years ago. And today, their hearts are heavy and burdened before the Lord because of their failures. I remember in the early days of my own Christian experience, I used to have problems, child of God, about this fellow called the flesh. Never seems to leave us, does he? I remember again, Brother Leckie teaches us in England years ago. He's been one of my teachers along with Mr. Hunter, you see. And I remember him teaching us years ago that there's nothing the child of God cannot do that once he ever did do. Child of God, until we get home to the glory, there is still the possibility of grave failure with each and every one of us. But I bless God today, we have a God of restoration. And if there's no condemnation, I bless God there's a God of restoration for each and every one of us. One of the brethren earlier on, he was speaking a little and telling us about the fact that when Adam was put out of the garden, he was put out with a view to restoration. Child of God, that's really the burden of my heart today. For there are saints of God, and tragically they have failed. Tragically they have sinned. And as Brother Fairfield was saying on Saturday, oftentimes all they've become is a means for the saints to dissect them over the dinner table. Brethren, sisters, we shouldn't be feeding on failure, and we shouldn't be resurrecting failure either. We should be walking today in the good of all that Christ has done, and in the good of what the Lord has given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want us to do very, very simply is just to look at these two skins. In chapter 7 of the book of Leviticus, we read about the skin of the burnt offering. You know, the burnt offering, you get that in chapter 1, don't you, of this lovely book? We're now dealing with what are called the laws of the burnt offering, or the laws of the offerings. In chapter 1, I find that there's a whole bullet for God. It's going on the altar for God. There's a worshipper coming. And child of God, as that worshipper comes, he's giving of the outflow of his heart to God. And he's presenting something just for God's pleasure. I believe we do that, you know, within the assembly. We were listening to a little of it, weren't we? The assembly for God's pleasure. And child of God, within the assembly, oh, that there were many burnt offerings being brought. And God was getting something that was satisfying his heart. He was getting a sweet smell, a sweet odor from the saints of God as burnt offerings were being brought. And I was well taught years ago that everything of that burnt offering was for God, not for me. Not for me. It's all for God. I'm going to put the head on the altar for God. I'm going to put the inwards on the altar for God. I'm going to put the legs on the altar for God. It's Christ, isn't it? And I'm going to present Christ to God. And I'm going to learn to appreciate the lovely person of God's Son. And I'm going to give him to God. He loves you and me to talk about him, you know. Child of God, you can be taken up with nothing better, you know, than talk about the Lord Jesus to the Father. I have a large family. A lot of people know that now. I like to tell the folks that the Lord has prospered me. And I'm one of the blessed men, you know. People look at children as a burden. Well, I thank God that the Bible calls them a blessing. And I have a large family. I have 9 of them, you see. Don't feel sorry for me. I enjoy them. And you know something? If you talk to me about them, I'll listen for hours. I know all about them. They're the greatest kids in the world. Every one of them. And you talk to me about them. And you know, you could talk till the rising of the sun, all the way through the night, and I'd agree with you. They're the finest children that this world's ever known. That's what I think about them. Child of God, if I love you to talk to me about my family, and I know all about them, God loves you to talk to him about his lovely son. And he loves you to draw from the word of God things concerning the Christ of God. And he wants you to lay it all out before him. There's a lovely burnt offering. Do you know, I was taught that there was nothing for man. God got everything. But when I come to the book of Leviticus in chapter 7, I find that man does get something. Priestly men get something. Do you see what they get here, please? It says in verse 8 of Leviticus 7, "And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin." The skin. He got the skin, child of God. That didn't go on the altar. That didn't go up in the smoke before God. The priest got the skin. He get the skins of the bullock. Now, they'd be fine skins, wouldn't they? I've often wondered what he'd do with them now. Perhaps he'd make a covering for his bed. Perhaps he'd make a hanging for the walls. Perhaps, child of God, he might make them as a rug, you know, or a carpet for the floor. Perhaps he might make them a coat for his back. Or he'll make them into shoes for his feet. But child of God, when I look at that priest and I go into that priest's home, do you know what I'm going to see? I'm going to see the value and virtue of the offerings of the saints of God that have had something for God and have been giving something to God, and it's showing all about the whole character of the priest in all his ways. It might be that of a sheep, it might be that of a goat. Oh, child of God, I love to think of it, you know. When the saints of God are moving in worship before the Lord, is there not something that should be for you, something that should be for me? I never forget gazing on the features of one of God's great and godly men. And you know, child of God, when you looked upon his features, you saw the skin of the burnt offering. He was a man that was often in the presence of God. He was a man that knew what it was to move in priestly exercise in holy things. And it was showing all about his character. Marking his very features. Marking his walk and marking his ways. And the lovely thing, child of God, the more that we offer, the more the priests would get. and as the saints are moving in priestly exercise, child of God, all to get these lovely features of the Christ of God all about us, wearing the skin. To be in the secret place, you know. Child of God, if you're moving in exercise before the Lord in a priestly way, and if you're offering sacrifices heavenward and God's getting something, you know, that'll tell in the very private quarters of your home. It'd be a covering for his bed. It would be seen as he's walking down the street, you know. It would be a coat upon his back. And all the features of that offering would be seen in that lovely man as he's walking down the street. He's carrying along with him the skin of the burnt offering. Child of God, if you have a deep appreciation of the Lord Jesus and presenting him before the Father, that's going to be seen in your own personality. It's going to be seen in your own home. It's going to be seen in your walk. Not just something for God, you know. You're going to be wearing the skin of that. It's going to be about your home. I tell you, how precious to find in the homes of the saints of God things that would speak of all the glories of our Lord Jesus, as they're precious to the Father's eye and the Father's heart. Child of God, to get the value of the offering of Christ in your home, I tell you, that's a blessed thing, isn't it, to mark the home of any saint of God and to mark the life of any saint of God. How about, come with me please, because I don't want to stay too long. I would hate to transgress on my first visit here. They might make it my last, and who knows. So we'd better be careful, please. Come with me to chapter 4. Because in chapter 4, we have another skin. This is not the skin of the burnt offering. This is the skin of a sin offering. This is a different thing altogether, child of God. This wasn't the saint of God coming before the Lord in deep appreciation, as he is in the burnt offering. He's coming now for restoration. He's failed. He's failed. Sin has come in. His heart is heavy. His head is bowed. He's guilty before his God, and he's feeling it. He wants to come back to God. And bless God, child of God. God has found a way of restoration. Brethren, I would every one of us would find that way. For I tell you today, one of the things that grieves me sorely as I move from assembly to assembly and move amongst the saints are brethren that'll never let saints get recovered and never let saints get restored. We never learnt the truth of 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. I never forget going into an assembly at home, Saturday night, a ministry meeting. I knew all the believers there, you know. I went there often. And right on the front row, there was a lady I'd never seen before with a son, a stranger to me. And of course, as I'm shaking hands with the folks as they're going out and shake hands with the lady as she's going out, I say to one of the brethren, "Who is that now?" Oh, her. She had to get married 10 years ago. She's back up here visiting her mother and she's in the meeting. Child of God, I was cut to the soul, I tell you. A tragedy she had sinned. A tragedy that we do fail in moral sin, child of God. But here was a dear soul that had come up to visit her mother from maybe 200 miles away. And yet on a Saturday night, still a desire to be in the gatherings of God's children, restored. But the brethren hadn't forgotten, you know. And immediately they tainted my mind with the whole character of that young lady because of a failure of 10 years before. And as Brother Fairfield said, why, they didn't even wait till the table dissecting her before we got out of the hall. Brethren, do we know nothing of restoration? Do we know nothing of forgiveness? Must we always be bringing up and carrying on failures of the saints of God? What is the sin offering for, please? There is therefore now no condemnation. And when God has restored and when God has forgiven,
And when we heard, as we did in the first message of the day, what God has done with sin, brethren, it might be a good thing if we could do it with sin too. And if we could see that that sin never was raised again. And it wasn't paraded before the saints of God for everybody to feast on. Well, let's take a look at it, please. For I want you to notice that anybody can sin, anybody. You look at verse 3, please. In verse 3 it says, if a priest, I'm in chapter 4 now. I wouldn't like you to get lost. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 3, if a priest that is anointed do sin. Oh, child of God, a priest can sin. And that's what the book of Hebrews touches, doesn't it, in chapter 5. So also for himself as for the people, he must offer for sin. A priest can sin, child of God. The book of Malachi might give me a little light if I want to give some practical lessons now on the priest that sins. For the book of Malachi in chapter 2 tells me that the priest, he is the teacher of the people. He's the man that holds the covenant. He's to pass on the word of God to the people. I often think, child of God, that the priest that sins today, he might answer to some of the men of God that stand to serve God, the teaching men. For the priest, he didn't only officiate before the altar, he also handled the word of God to teach the people the things of God. But all men moving in the highest ways before the Lord, handling the word of God, child of God, they can sin. That's what we have when we come to verse 3. They can sin. Mr. Kelly tells us in his translation and in his statements on the offerings here, he tells us that the sense of verse 3, if a priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, so as to bring sin upon the people. In other words, when he fails, it didn't only affect him, it affected everybody else. Child of God, a priest can sin. Will you look down, please, when you come down to verse 13? Because in verse 13, I find not only a priest can sin, but the whole congregation can sin. And if I'm going to typify that, child of God, I'm going to see that assemblies can sin. Child of God, your assembly can sin. And had we got a lot of time, I could bring that before you today to show you how assemblies can sin. They could sin. Would you look at verse 22, please? A ruler can sin. Elders can sin, child of God. I remember two Scotsmen that were going to visit some believers, or a believer, because again sin had come in. And as they were catching the bus, those were the days when they had to go on the bus, you know. When they were catching the bus, one of the brethren, he spoke to the other and he said, brother, do you think you could do this? Oh, not me now. No, I'd never be guilty of that. Well, said he, brother, I think you'd better go home. For you're not the man to come with me to deal with this business if you don't think you could be guilty of it. Considering yourself, says the book of Galatians, lest ye also be tempted. Child of God, it doesn't matter who you are today. Will you see when you come down to verse 27? Says verse 27, and please I'll read you the margin, for I hate this word common people. It smacks too much of Christendom, doesn't it? That I'd like to make the saints of God very common. You know, when they call them the laity. What a tragedy. The common people. There's nothing common about the saints. We've already heard they're God's elect. No, the margin says the people of the land. These are not priests. These are not rulers. Just the saints. Just the saints. Child of God, they can sin. Now listen, child of God, we shouldn't sin. No. We shouldn't sin. And could I say something today, please? Child of God, it's not easy to sin. It's not easy to sin. For God has done everything he can to make it that you and I will not sin. And you remember, won't you please, the epistle of John that says it's if we sin, not when we sin. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Child of God, we shouldn't sin. And let me say very clearly today, we shouldn't sin ignorantly. Sorry, we shouldn't sin willfully. Child of God, if we sin, we should only sin ignorantly. That's what happens here. You'll find that in verse 1. If a soul sin through ignorance, we should never sin willfully. Child of God, it should only be ignorance. Or again, as the book of Galatians in chapter 6 says, if a man is overtaken in a sin, he didn't set out that day deliberately to defy his God that had saved him. He didn't set out that day to deliberately move against the new nature that had been imparted within. He that is born of God cannot sin. He didn't set out that day to deliberately defy the word of God. For wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And he didn't set out that day, child of God, to move against the whole priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus. For you remember, his priestly ministry is not like the priests of old, for theirs was only to take over when a man had sinned. The Lord Jesus, child of God, he's a priest above today to keep us from sin. And today God has given you of his own spirit. He's given you the word. The whole power of God, says the book of Peter, is there to keep us. And the Christ of God who intercedeth for us, we've already heard. And the one that's the priest on our behalf to keep us from sin. Child of God, you've got to move against all that when you sin. All that now. It's not easy to sin. Because God with divine overtures will do all he can to keep you from it. He doesn't want you to sin, see. But perhaps unwittingly, ignorantly, overtaken in it. That's what Galatians talks about. A brother overtaken, not a fault, but a sin. Child of God, is there no restoration? Is there no recovery? Ah, bless God again. We have an advocate with the Father. And child of God, when sin does come in, you mustn't stay estranged. You mustn't stay away from your God. There is recovery. There is a way back. Come into the good again of all that God has done for you, in all that the Lord Jesus is, as the advocate who is there before the Father on your behalf and mine. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And child of God, don't go on reproaching yourself continually about that sin of the past. I have before my mind a dear saint of God. I pray for her constantly. In fact, when this came to me, I had to take up a letter and I had to write to her. For I suddenly saw this here that we have in verse 11. And the skin, and the skin. Child of God, the skin of the sin offering, you don't wear that. You wear the skin of the burnt offering, please. You get all the lovely features of the glories of Christ about you. That will mark your home. That will mark your walk. That will mark your life. But child of God, don't wear the skin of the sin offering. Here, the skin with the whole bullock will be taken outside the camp and it'll be burnt outside the camp. Child of God, once that sin is confessed, that sin is gone. And the skin of that bullock is burnt without the camp. God doesn't want you to wear it. God doesn't want you to carry it. And when I think of in those early days when I was first saved, and you know the old devil used to come in and get at me as he always did. So much so that when once standing with a few of the saints from the little assembly at Withenshaw, I said to them, you know, I'm giving it all up. Giving it all up. There'll never be any blessing while I'm there. You see, child of God, I knew all my failures, you know. It wasn't because I didn't love the Lord. And it wasn't because I didn't love the book. But I just knew what an awful character I was, even though God had saved me. And I'm going to give it all up. I'm hindering the blessing. I tell you, I bless God. What we have in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And when God gave me that, Norman, you're absolutely perfect. Now, I might not look it, but let me tell you today, that's what God says. And it came, amen, brother. And that's what goes along, you know, with what our brother's been bringing before us. And child of God, the skin of the sin offering, it's gone. I'm not wearing it. And I'm not going to carry it. My sins are gone today, and your sins are gone today. The mighty work of Christ has put them all away. We're redeemed by precious blood.